Our Lenten season this year gets its inspiration from an incident that took place in the Garden of Gethsemane just hours before Jesus was arrested, tried, and crucified. In that quiet, secluded Garden of Gethsemane, the Gospels describe Jesus asking his disciples to keep watch and pray while he moved away from them a bit for a time of private, intense prayer. Imagine prayer time so intense that you have to step away for a while to rest, to regroup, to settle your heart and clear your mind. That's what Jesus did several times. And each time when he returned to where Peter, James, and John were sitting or lying, he found them not keeping watch and praying. No, they were snoozing. The result of the late hour and the food and wine they consumed earlier that evening at what we now call the Last Supper. Now, would we have done any better than the disciples? I don't think so. Can we grow in our ability to keep watch and pray? Well, I invite you to embrace that goal during this year's Lenten worship series entitled Watch and Pray. And a good starting point in exploring prayer is with a prayer that we know as the Lord's Prayer. Our Roman Catholic brothers and sisters call it the Our Father because of the first words. The nucleus of the Lord's Prayer comes from the Bible. The version that we know is a conflation of the slightly different versions found in Matthew chapter 6 and Luke chapter 11, which we heard just a minute ago. And so I call these versions the nucleus of the Lord's Prayer because neither one includes that concluding praise of God's kingdom, power, and glory that's so familiar to us. That doxology was added to the prayer sometime later. Now, you might be surprised to realize that the Lord's Prayer is not a Christian prayer. Yes, it appears in the Christian scriptures, but who uttered it? Jesus, a Jew. Who requested the prayer? A disciple who was Jewish. When you look at the text, go ahead, look at the back page of your bulletin. When you look at the text of the Lord's Prayer, does it contain anything that couldn't be prayed by someone of another faith tradition? No, not really. No wonder this simple prayer has been spoken across the centuries by Christians the world over in languages too numerous to count. Luke's Gospel presents this prayer as Jesus' response to a request from one of his disciples who said, "Teach us to pray." That's what a disciple said, adding that after all, John the Baptist had given a prayer to his followers. In other words, why don't we get one? Indeed, it was not unusual for rabbis to teach specific prayers to their people. So is that what the disciple had in mind? Or did the disciples really not know how to pray? Had they not prayed before? Why would Jesus' disciples ask to be taught to pray? Well, a couple possibilities come to mind. First, maybe they didn't have much exposure to prayer. Now, we all know that there are Christians like you who are actively engaged in the faith community. And then there are people who consider themselves Christian, but who do little to engage with the life and the traditions of the community of faith. Surely that was also the case in the Judaism of Jesus' day. Surely some people were active in the life of the synagogue, others, while not deliberately violating Jewish traditions and practices, they didn't go out of their way to observe them either. And maybe some of Jesus' disciples hadn't been particularly devout practicing Jews, and prayer wasn't a regular part of their lives. Or maybe the disciples were accustomed to prayer rituals that never changed. But now they were seeing Jesus engage in prayer in a way that was unfamiliar to them. In the Judaism of Jesus' day, the worship practices were prescribed and familiar by repetition. Jewish worship consisted of four primary elements: the twice daily recitation of several verses of Deuteronomy chapter 4. We know them. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord our alone, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. Jews call that passage the Shema. Hebrew for the imperative verb hear or listen, Israel. So that was recited twice daily. Jewish worship also included a set of blessings recited before and after the Shema. And then 18 blessings that they called the prayer. That was recited several times a day. And then the Hebrew scriptures were read aloud in installments, much like we do in our worship. Well, if the disciples were accustomed to the same prayers being said the same way at most synagogue services, they may have been puzzled or fascinated by how Jesus prayed in a way that seemed off the cuff, improvised. He varied his prayers depending on the situation he found himself in. Maybe that's what they wanted to learn from him. How one could engage with God through prayer in a way that was immediate, informal, and attuned to the situation at hand or what was on one's mind. Or perhaps they asked Jesus to teach them to pray because they wondered if there was a certain technique they should use. Should they sit or kneel or stand or move? Should eyes be open or closed? If open, should they gaze downward or upward? Should hands be clasped or open, held close, outstretched? The Old Testament gives examples of all of that. Solomon spread out his hands toward heaven. Miriam danced in prayer along with all the other Israelite women. Abraham threw himself flat on the ground to pray. And the New Testament also depicts a variety of postures and acts while praying. A man seeking healing knelt as he prayed. A tax collector pounded on his breast in remorse while praying. Jesus himself, he prayed while bent over, while raising his head to the skies, while throwing himself to the ground. And in many settings, we can presume that he was probably just standing around or sitting or maybe even walking as he prayed. The fact that the Bible describes a variety of postures and actions suggests to me that how we engage our bodies as we pray is not what's important. Jesus didn't prescribe a specific technique for praying. Luke's gospel says that Jesus said to his disciples, "When you pray, say this." Did he mean that those were the exact words to say? Well, that's unlikely because Jesus himself prayed saying lots of different things. One of our ancestors in the faith was Martin Luther. Yes, the same Luther whose questioning of church authority resulted in the movement known as the Protestant Reformation. Luther considered prayer a priority in his life. The story goes that Luther said one day he had so much to do that day that he'd better pray for 3 extra hours. He's also reported to have cautioned that people who don't make prayer a priority in their lives should be set in the street and pelted with horse manure. So there you go. While Christians had been reciting the words of the Lord's Prayer for centuries by Luther's day, Luther believed that the individual petitions that make up the Lord's Prayer actually serve as a framework for us to explore prayer possibilities more deeply. So, for instance, when you pray, "Thy kingdom come," Luther believed you might also reflect on how your own priorities sometimes push God to the perimeter of your life. Or when you pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," your prayers might embrace impoverished people who struggle to feed their families. Or you might pray for people who suffer from eating disorders. Another way the Lord's Prayer can teach us to pray is by trying to get past its familiarity in order to reveal new depth and new inspiration. For instance, I just came across an interpretation, kind of a rephrasing of the Lord's Prayer, prepared by the Church of New Zealand that invites us to hear Jesus with new ears. Listen to this. "Eternal Spirit, Earth Maker, Pain Bearer, Life Giver, Source of all that is and that shall be, Father and Mother of us all, Loving God, in whom is heaven, the hallowing of your name echoes through the universe. The way of your justice be followed by the peoples of the world. Your heavenly will be done by all created beings. Your commonwealth of peace and freedom sustain our hope and come on earth with the bread we need for today. Feed us in the hurts we absorb from one another. Forgive us. In times of temptation and test, strengthen us. From trials too great to endure, spare us. From the grip of all that is evil, free us. For you reign in the glory of the power that is love, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Yeah, perhaps you'll find it refreshing or insightful to pray using texts that aren't familiar to you. But here's a word of grace about communing with God through prayer. The effectiveness of our prayers is not up to us. God is not dependent on our ability to pray. God graces us with the gift of spiritual union through the experience of prayer. And God does that through the gift of the Holy Spirit. As we heard in his letter to the Romans, St. Paul says that our vocabulary or our imagery or our vocal resonance or posture or gestures, that's not what's important for a life of prayer. All that's needed is a willingness to be open to God's Spirit drawing us near. Listen to Romans chapter 8. In the same way, the Spirit also comes to help us, weak as we are, for we do not know how we ought to pray. The Spirit Himself pleads with God for us in groans that words cannot express. And God, who sees into our hearts, knows what the thought of the Spirit is. Because the Spirit pleads with God on behalf of God's people and in accordance with God's will. Without the Spirit, we're simply at a loss to know how to communicate with God. But by God's gift of the Holy Spirit, we can trust God to know our feelings, to know what we're thinking, to know what worries us, to know what's filling us to near bursting with joy. We can trust God to speak through the Holy Spirit, to reassure through the Holy Spirit, to counsel and console through the Holy Spirit, to give strength and guidance through the power of the Holy Spirit. So when we follow the example of the disciple, when we say, Lord, teach us to pray, we are praying to be open and receptive and attuned to God's Holy Spirit who speaks, as Paul put it, in groans that words cannot express. Becoming prayers is not our accomplishment. We become prayers by being open to God's Holy Spirit knowing us and leading us to know God. Amen.